It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss. Lightning Thursday is brought to you by Fletcher Park Inn, independent Christian retirement community. Fletcher Park Inn, Henderson County's best-kept retirement secret.
Welcome to Lightning Radio. We do it every Thursday right here on theCUBE because today's the day that the Hendersonville Lightning is on the streets and it is in your mailboxes and it is on your radio. Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Welcome to the WTZQ studios.
Thank you very much. Great to be back here in on the Lightning Radio with our loyal Friends of the Lightning.
Yes, sir. Let's get on it. Well, what do you say? Let's get behind the headlines. Let's start with our front page here. Got a great picture of Associate School Superintendent John Bryant explaining some construction. As HHS construction looms, officials praise cooperation and ease parents' fears. Tell us more, Bill.
They did. This is one of those stories, Mark, that I get questions around town a lot because this has been going on, as we say later on in the story. 4 years of often rancorous debate came to an end in January. The Board of Commissioners voted, you remember, after lots of back and forth and another plan that fell away, and this one ascended and was finally endorsed by the commissioners, who agreed to fund this $60 million combination renovation new construction plan that will be the face of Hendersonville High School for the next 100 years. So it's a big deal, and man, because of that, and because then it kind of goes underground in terms of how much public debate there is. You know, still a lot going on. We wrote over the summer and covered with pictures the work that went on over the summer. But I still get questions around town. Well, what's going on with the high school? People aren't sure. Maybe it fell.
Because it doesn't look like anything's going on.
Well, yeah. There's a kid out in the yard, like always. there's a traffic, same as always. I don't see any construction yet, but there is a lot going on. You might say at the architect's drafting table and at the engineers offices and in the cost projection specialist and in the specification bid drawing up people. Uh-huh. And luckily, one thing that happened that, as often happens, only the Lightning was there to cover was this really good, comprehensive, and not highly complicated. Dr. John Bryant, being Dr. Bryant, was very good at explaining in plain walking on the street language what was going on. Really, what to expect, well, let's say before what, you know, why this is really a good thing. He had a lot of good good expressions, good way of articulating why, for instance, where we are sitting and where we were sitting was the Stillwell Auditorium.
Right.
The almost 100-year-old now, or more than 100-year-old now, core classroom building and auditorium, and why that auditorium is so important that you know about, that I know about, having experience, not as a student, but as a Bearcat parent, and that is the assemblies, the move up, the pep rallies, the senior play, and everything else that is the spirit of the Bearcat Nation. And as he described it, why this space that we're in is so important to the heartbeat of the school. I thought that was a great way of putting it. So what he then spelled out is what's happened so far, what's happened happening, as I said, behind the scenes in terms of the bids, which should have been going out this week, the first bid invitations for the first phase, and what to expect in terms of construction on the ground. There'll be a big construction fence that segregates the construction zone from the student zone. And lots going on there. One thing that some people might not realize, I didn't actually know for sure that did you know the cafeteria has already moved?
I seems like I do remember talking to somebody about having to move food around from the middle school to the to the high school?
Yeah, I don't even think they had to do that because they've decided that they've made that has a kitchen to it. No, they just parachuted the cafeteria from the lunchroom that building that we know that's going to be bulldozed now very soon. They parachuted that over to the vocational ed building.
Okay,
and that is the first first activity of the vocational ed building, which will be known in the town and certainly on the campus for the next 4 years as the swing space that keeps transitioning from one function to the next as it's needed. Classrooms, I'm not sure what all, but the first swing space activity in the vocational ed building is already underway with children going there every day in the cafeteria. They are still going outside, of course, and Dr. Bryan explained as well that that tradition also will continue because the area, actually where the vocational ed building, it'll eventually be bulldozed. That will be the part of the interior courtyard. Bobby Wilkins explains as well that the senior circle with the sundial, the sundial's already gone. They'll be making a new pedestal for the sundial. That will be preserved, and that will be moving into the interior courtyard. Dr. Bryan explained as well, excuse me, about the there'll be a new lobby to the auditorium as well, and that will be more what we consider the backstage green room slash hallway slash principal's office slash guidance counselor office area. Will be a spacious what Dr. Bryant as much grander described as much grander lobby area.
Okay.
And kind of, it can be kind of a smaller, but almost an event area as well. That's okay. The way they picture that.
Okay.
A really interesting, and if you're, you know, for the community and for this project and for peace at last, you might say, on the conflict, over this project was how much both Mr. Wilkins and Dr. Bryant described and praised the cooperation from top to bottom. Certainly, the Board of Commissioners and the school board, central office administrators, and then up to and including, and especially the architects, the engineers, the contractor, in making concessions and making everything as good as it possibly can be. At one point, they said when they were designing, I think they had a lot of questions about the auditorium and about the outdoor courtyard space. They said they called us. They kept calling over and over and to check and recheck what we had in mind, what we wanted. Sometimes, Dr. Bryant said, a dozen times per day. So it was a good thing to cover, and it would be a good thing for anybody interested, not just in Hendersonville High School, but in the community to read, I think.
So I have two questions. I want to start with what your headline says here, ease parents' fears.
Right.
What's the fear factor there for the parents?
that the falling rubble is not going to fall on children's heads, one thing.
Okay.
That this can get done. One thing that's a fear that is a real fear that there's no way around that I didn't touch on that was important, and that is no gym for a year. That is from a from July to June or something. I think it's this coming up, 2021. So from a sports and PE perspective, the most painful part of the process, reading from our story, starts next July and ends 11 months later. No gym. The old stone gym is demolished. The new 1974 Jim Pardue gym. The new gym built before I was born remains.
Yeah.
But that gets a major renovation where is it here? With a feature that anybody who has ever, as a student or parent or teacher or a member of the community, sweated through a Hendersonville High School graduation will appreciate.
Yep.
Air conditioning.
Oh, nice.
So it will all be better when it's over, but there's no way around certain painful things, and probably the most visible, prominent, from an athletics point of view at least, is there is no home games. Every game's an away game.
Sure,
for next school year.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, those are the pains you got to go through.
That's right.
One more question regarding this, and it's literally something that I just thought of as I was looking at these plans. One of the things that's always been a bit confusing to me at Hendersonville High School was, is there a main entrance?
I've
always been confused as to where I should, where do I walk in? What looks like the main entrance, you walk in, you're in a stairwell, or you go in the back way to the office. With this new design, is there going to be something that looks more like a main entrance?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's a great question. And they would love for you to ask that question, because that is not only just from design and aesthetic, a superficial point of view, but truly from a security point of view, this change, the new construction, the renovation, brings a level of security that will make Hendersonville High School, which is probably the least secure high school
in the county,
will make it the most secure.
Okay.
You will no longer have those children out on the lawn, just basically, on facing two public streets, basically.
Right.
That's gone, because they'll be in that interior courtroom.
Uh-huh.
The main entrance will be, the best way I can describe it is, it will be between the existing core classroom, horseshoe shaped building, and the new classroom building, which is the new, I think, 3-story classroom building,
okay,
which is parallel to Oakland Street, and between there will be the public entrance, the only one you can go. Well, there's a student parking entrance as well, which will be that will be controlled as well,
okay,
with personnel and locks and so forth, and,
wow,
and that will be locked once students park, and that will be locked, and then the only way in will be that main area between new construction and old Stillwell, and it will be very secure. That'll be the only way in.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure it won't be the only way out, because for fire safety reasons.
Sure, sure. Wow. Well, thanks for clearing that up.
Yep.
I appreciate that. Let's stay on the front page, if we can, here. Lots of people are wondering what in the world is going on at that used-to-be incredibly vivacious building, the Opportunity House. Headline right here, Op House lawsuit goes to mediation.
Yeah, which is probably a good thing. You're right. They used to have literally hundreds of actual members who were paying, not very much, but dues-paying members of the Opportunity House, which started, I think, maybe as far back as the late 50s when it was in that house on Fleming Street.
Uh-huh.
Then moved to the old AMP building at some time after that. People around here are familiar with that. For years and years, the parking lot was full, or almost full.
Absolutely.
With bridge playing, dance clubs, all sorts of social activities, lecture, arts, crafts, political meetings, community forums, and so forth. But that has really fallen away, as everybody has noticed, and as the Lightning has been reporting since last January, when we reported not just a lawsuit by the Community Foundation, but our own independent reporting about what was going on, and many, many people's questions about who's running the place and who is out there actually attempting to sell it. We confirm in this story, because the Opportunity House attorneys in some previous answers to the lawsuit said, yes, indeed, we would like to sell the building, and yes, indeed, it is at the moment being actively marketed. So they confirm that it's for sale. They don't really confirm, at least not yet, in their answers to some interrogatories, what if anything they intend to do with the proceeds in the sale of a building that's
right,
valued between $1 million and $1.5 million. But the mediation should. It should produce many, many documents. In fact, the attorney for the Op House told the Hendersonville Lightning that they have indeed already produced many, many documents that the Community Foundation has demanded, including, well, who, by the way, is your board of directors? Can we see minutes of the past few years? Can we see the Internal Revenue Service 990 forms, which nonprofits must file, and they had actually withheld, even though by law they must, you must, a nonprofit must turn over its 990 form to any member of the public who asks for one. So all of this could get straightened out or get kicked down the road pretty significantly this coming Friday when the mediation takes place.
Okay. All right, we'll look forward to the lightning staying on this story. Folks, you are listening to Lightning Thursdays here on WTZQ Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. We'll be back.
Fletcher Park Inn, an independent Christian retirement community located on 450 beautiful acres across from Park Ridge Hospital, is the best-kept secret in Hendersonville for retirement living. Not a nursing home, Fletcher Park Inn residents enjoy independent living in spacious villas and apartments. Fletcher Park Inn offers everything you need to remain independent, alcohol and tobacco free. This Christian retirement community welcomes you to visit in person or online at FletcherParkInn.com and see what all the fuss is about. Fletcher Park Inn, now that's retirement living.
Duraline Imaging, the local company that you can trust as your single point of contact for office equipment sales, supplies, service, and repair. Duraline Imaging provides copier and printer sales and service solutions that lower cost, reduce waste, and simplify operations. Give Duraline a chance to earn your trust and your business by giving them a call today at 692-1301. Duraline Imaging, 692-1301. Relationships matter and trust must be earned. Trust Duraline Imaging, Upward Road in Hendersonville.
The Salvation Army, in partnership with Hunter Subaru, presents award-winning Christian artist Steve Green in concert Saturday, November 2nd at 6:30 p.m. at Blue Ridge Community College. Tickets are $40 per person and $35 for groups of 10 or more. Tickets can be purchased at Hendersonville Salvation Army or online at SalvationArmyCarolinas.org/Hendersonville. Also appearing is comedian Ken Kington. Ticket sales help support the Hendersonville Salvation Army. For more information, call 693-4181.
Kaysen Builder Supply, the official sponsor of patio season, providing quality landscape and masonry materials, exceptional customer service, and superior delivery from locations in East Flat Rock, Brevard, and Greer. Now is the time to prepare for patio season with a visit to Kaysen Builder Supply in East Flat Rock to see displays of outdoor rooms, pavers, retaining walls, and fire pits. Kaysen Builder Supply, providing exceptional service for over 40 years, the official sponsor of patio season. KaysenCompaniesInc.com.
And we're back with Lightning Thursdays with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, it's political season, believe it or not. Of course, we've got a municipal election coming up on November the 5th. Early voting has already begun. And talk to us about what you have here on page 8 and 9 for Four Seasons Politics.
Well, Mark, it's the patented, once again, only in the Lightning feature, which is a spreadsheet. It's a chart of who gave what. A couple weeks ago, we reported the top line story, the top line and bottom line, you might say, of, that more money had been raised in the municipal in Flat Rock. I'm sure it's more than ever in history.
Absolutely.
When of course that was an easy bar to clear, since the previous record I think was probably zero, and now it's combined. It's I forget the total, but it's up over $10,000-$12,000 in all the campaigns with that very active cultural landscape group and Coletta's group, but also quite a bit of fundraising in Hendersonville. Jennifer Hensley, $3,300. Lindsey Simpson, $3,300 as well. Steve Carricker, $3,500, including $2,500 from Jeff Miller's campaign account, which he closed from 2 years ago. But what's important about this week, we ran out of time and space 2 weeks ago and held for this week the chart, who gave what. You'll see every single name, how much they gave, what they were, retired, housewife, homemaker, executive director of something, and so forth.
Interesting. Interesting. It's really interesting to look and see this, Bill, and see not only who gave, but where it came from. You know, not necessarily all people who live in Hendersonville are Flat Rock.
Yeah, you're looking at some of the Flat Rock, especially the, I would say, kind of historic Flat Rock-oriented folks.
Yeah,
there are a lot of people that are that have property in Flat Rock.
Yeah.
Maybe they're former residents. A lot of these names I'm seeing that I think you're looking at as well are, they very well may be summer residents of Flat Rock, which is very... very much of a theme in, with the history of Flat Rock. It started as a summer colony of the Charleston folks and the Lowcountry folks.
Absolutely. Once again, early voting has begun, and of course that election is coming up on November the 5th. How about a dish on dining and entertainment? We've got some new dining options
here in Henderson County, and a little bit of
a change with an entertainment option.
Yes. Yep. We got the scoop on all of those with our regular, occasional but regular feature called Dish on Dining. We tell you what's going on. And in the old Subway, Mark, there was a Subway, you might recall.
Off Highway 64.
In Laurel Park.
Yeah, Laurel Park.
In the Jeff Miller, talk about Miller, Miller Laundromat and Miller Dry Cleaning, Laurel Park location. In that little strip center, that Subway is now Hendersonville Pizzeria. And you know what happens when you come in the door?
What's that?
Hey, all the wait staff, the cooks, everybody. You can see all the cooks right there. They greet you right from the start. Very family, very fun place, very fun atmosphere, very family friendly. And just say you were going to go in there and order a meat special pizza. Tell me that you want a Big Bad Wolf.
I want a Big Bad Wolf.
Oh, sorry, that broke the that broke the ears of the lightning greeters.
That's okay.
But that I wanted to give an idea of what happens at the pizzeria. So this this fun couple, Joy and Jacob Marlowe, and their 10-year-old son who goes by Luigi Marloni. So it's their 10-year-old son Ashton and their 5-year-old daughter Addison are among the those little ones are among the staff there, bussing tables. We tell all about all the fun stuff they have and all the menu, including Mama's apple pie stromboli made with fresh apples from Steps Hillcrest Orchard. So they've really engaged. They've only been here since February. They also run, Jacob in particular, an electrical service. He's an electrician, electrical contractor with Carolina Electrical Services, I think it is, in a little office right next door. But they've really engaged with the community, real devout Christian couple. These children are homeschooled, and they're in there some, but they go to school as well. And there's lots of, it's really got a lot, of course, all really kind of Italian-oriented, but there's an extensive menu.
Well, thanks for clearing up that headline, because I was wondering, with a hey and a how, pizzeria offers family fun.
Yeah.
You've explained it very well.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes.
And thank you also for clearing up a bit of a difference. You know, there's lots of places to go for pizza. So you have to say, what's going to make you different? What, you know, why am I going to come see you versus other pizza places? And I think you've really, really explained the difference.
Yeah,
right
in
there.
A market, as we say, in a market flush with pizza purveyors, you got to do something to stand out. And
absolutely.
They're doing something to stand out. I counted 8 places. Including places, including I think 4 pretty new ones in the past 3 years. If you count Marco's and Amazing, of course, Two Guys is also on 7th Avenue, Pi Squared, and then all the ones downtown.
Yeah.
I counted that there were 8 within, I would say, a 2-mile drive.
Sure, sure. Well, good luck to them. That's great news. Let's continue with our Dish on Dining, an art and a coffee bar opening on 5th Avenue.
Yeah, maybe early in the morning, or we found out from the proprietor of this art and coffee bar on 5th Avenue East across from City Hall. She says the busiest time is that afternoon coffee, that kind of pick-me-up. And maybe they have lots of homemade pastries and little snacks in there as well. So people can check that out as well. really nice, nicely done inside, real cozy, a good place to, as I saw a young couple in there on their Wi-Fis and on their phones, I mean, on their laptops using Wi-Fi and drinking a cup of coffee. So check that out. That's she says doing well. They get the City Hall crowd early. They get the merchants that open up shop and run down there 9, 10, mid-morning or so. And then that afternoon, it's got a lot of hours. It's open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday. So check out Sandra and get a cup of coffee.
Fantastic. Let's now move on to more of a national chain that's also headed this way. Just off of Four Seasons Boulevard, we're getting a Panera Bread Cafe.
We are indeed. You know how the Lightning is good about finding out when people see the heavy equipment operating, construction fence there in the what looks like kind of the front to front and side yard of the Goodwill, the old Times News building from about 20 years ago. That's going to be Panera Bread. There's a construction underway for that 4,200 square foot building valued at about $490,000. We could not get a real solid confirmation time frame wise from the Panera Bread folks, but we'll continue to bird dog that and get an opening date. We hear, mid to late spring.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine they build enough stores that they've got it down to a science, and it's going to go up pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting. In the building permit, it's described, which is one of four confirmations we got that it was a Panera Bread. It's described as a Panera Bread shell only, which tells me that they have their own specialist. Either they're going to do a different contract or they're like you say, they'll parachute in the inside, the ovens and the soup. The soup cookers and the sandwich and the salad operation, I would imagine they'll be able to parachute that in a matter of days.
Excellent. I think that's good news. There are a lot of people who love that Panera Bread chain, they have it right there on off of Four Seasons Boulevard.
I did think it was interesting, and I wanted to ask about their marketing, because keep in mind, we did have an Atlanta Bread company in the Walmart shopping center, and it did close.
Right.
Now, this is an even more visible, high-traffic location than Walmart is, because the Walmart is sort of the end of the commercial explosion from Mud Creek to Walmart, and this is right smack in the middle of it all. It's probably the single most high traffic area in town.
Let's touch on a couple more stories before we finish with Hendersonville Lightning. We had the dish on dining. Let's do a little dish on entertainment right now. The Center for Arts and Inspiration downtown Hendersonville on Main Street is changing to the Center for Art and Entertainment, and they've announced their season for 2020.
Yes. I'm sure they still hope to inspire, but their brand has changed ever so slightly, as you say, to entertainment. And, Jeannie Lenders, she's the playwright and creator and original producer for many years of what became a big, she tells us, worldwide hit, Menopause the Musical.
Yep.
Jeannie Lenders was dishing for sure on this season of 12 shows and lots of activities that will take place in 2020, including some really fun, unique things like CarPlay, which is 15 original 10-minute plays. They have not even been created yet. I think there's a contest to create them, featuring, this is how it will be, like two actors will be sitting in the front seat. One example she gave is they might be two dogs waiting for their owners. It could be a thousand other, maybe it's people.
And this could... Let me get this right. This is going to actually take place in cars in their parking lot.
Yes, there was a picture of it somewhere in Southern California where it took place, Pasadena, I think it was. You could see the cars. She says that her producing set designer has shown how they could situate 12 cars in that little bitty parking lot that's next door to it. And you and me, the audience, or you and Paige, or me and Elizabeth, we'd be the audience. And so we'd go from one car, we'd sit in the back seat going from one car to the next for these 10-minute plays. And we'll see how that goes. That one is, let's see when that one is. That one's later on. It should be in the summer, I would think. Yeah, that one's in, that's three weekends in May, May 7, 9, 14, 16, 21, and 23. And then a real exciting thing in the summertime is Starlight Express, which is where a child's train set magically comes to life and competes with other locomotives to become the fastest engine in the world, with the young high school age actors all on roller skates.
How about that? How about that?
And you said that's an actual, that's a
Starlight Express.
Starlight
Express. Absolutely.
Okay, so look for Broadway on Main Street.
Well, fantastic. And congratulations to the Center for Arts and now Entertainment. Let's wrap up. Of course, there's still plenty more news to go, but let's wrap up today with a story about a Hendersonville High School grad with a book coming out.
Yes, indeed. We wanted to give a shout-out to Charlie Watterson, and Hendersonville native and 1992 graduate of that place. We're going out the door we came in, Hendersonville High School.
Yep.
He's a 1992 graduate of Hendersonville High School and has written what sounds like a really interesting book about the Revolutionary War and two leaders who had to overcome their stark differences in approach and political beliefs and personalities to fight in that very important Southern campaign, and that was Nathanael Greene and the original fighting Gamecock, General Sumter.
Uh-huh.
So you can check that out in Mr. Waters, Charlie Waters, Andrew's father, is hosting a book signing and reception for Andrew at the aforementioned Center for Arts and Entertainment from 4 to 6 p.m. this coming Saturday.
Fantastic.
So it's a book event, and that's something she, Jeannie talked about, that we do have local book events there a lot.
Very good. Bill, there's so much more in this week's Lightning, which is on the streets and in your mailboxes today. For folks who don't get their Lightning in their mailboxes, how can they pick up their copy of the Hendersonville Lightning?
By visiting any of the Lightning Orange racks all around the county or dealer partners, such as the public supermarket or coffee shops and convenience stores. Or by going to HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on that red tab that says subscribe and walk you through how to join the growing legions of Lightning fans that get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, or by calling Jan at 698-0407, or best of all, by coming to see us at 1111 Asheville Highway.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com.